We thank you, Jesus, for all that you do in this tremendous way. And we praise you, Lord, and pray that you will bless them abundantly and grant that signs and wonders will be done by their hands, Lord. Keep your hand upon them and keep them safe. Lord, we pray for everyone in this room that we will continue to do your will. And Lord, I pray that you especially will cause us to know the love of God, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Lord, we would sing and dance and rejoice in your presence, Lord, no matter what you do. It's wonderful. Well, Lord, we do not fear the fear of the world. Lord, we have no fear of death. We praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you warn us of things to come so that we may prepare and gird up our loins and not be caught in the world, but rather rejoicing and praising the Lord. Lord, all of your ways are glorious, and truly your commandments are not grievous. Now, Lord, as we continue this night, we pray that your perfect will be done. Every need will be met. Hallelujah. Whatever needs are here, they will be met. And that you will bless in the Royal Rangers and the Missionettes, Lord, all that is done here. We pray the angel of your presence will be on these grounds and among the people young and old, Lord, that we may bless your name in the house of the Lord. Oh, you're tremendous, Lord, and we love you and we praise you. We are not downcast, but we are uplifted into thy presence, Lord, that we may more and more as we see the day approaching. Help us as we lift up the name of Jesus alone, in whose name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Now, we have two people there, Brother Schrader, who speak no English, and no English whatever. And they are going to sit and listen to me for an hour and understand nothing. Why don't you bring them to the front and translate? Well, however it was convenient for them, but I can go slower and wait for you to translate. Well, we are Christians here. Huh? Well, would you please position yourself to their advantage? Because we do not intend to teach what people do not understand. And maybe, how long have they been Christians? Are they newborn in the Lord? Oh, all right. Well, what I have to say about tonight is a little bit would be above them, I think, but we'll do the best we can. All right. So you position yourself however you want. If you come up to the front or stand here with me or whatever. And we have many bilingual people here. There's only a few of us who can only speak one language, like myself. All right. Praise God. All right, but I think we can understand what God is saying. We'll turn to Isaiah 59. We'll read Isaiah 59, verse 20 and 21, and the first verse of the next chapter. So it's Isaiah 59, verses 20, 21, and Isaiah 60, verse 1. We'll read them together. Whensoever we find them. Isaiah. That's in the Old Testament. All right, here we go. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got the wrong Bible. I'm going to start that and then have Doug correct me here. All right. Here we go. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now notice the expression, the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And Paul, when he is quoting this, says the Redeemer shall come out of Zion. And I think both are true. Now what I would like to talk about tonight is the relationship between the church and the Jews. Now, ordinarily, I talk more about personal holiness, and the overcoming life is my theme. But I want to talk tonight about Israel and the Jews, about the Christians and the Jews. And the reason for that is that we are in the last days. We are in the last days. How do you say that in Spanish? You heard her. We are in the last days. And the Bible has a lot to say about the last days. You never think you're going to be in the last days. You always figure it's some other guys that are going to be around, some other people when God does great things. But it is us, it is we, who are in the last days, I should say. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. And probably one of the most significant things of the last days is that God is going to turn again to the Jews after the flesh. Now, I had not been aware of this until 2 years ago. I was in there in the office praying and in the Spirit, and the Lord began to say to me, Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua, Yeshua. And I thought, what is this? I had a vague notion that this was a Jewish term for the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. It was not long after that that I received an invitation to Miami to preach at the Feast of Tabernacles, a Christian celebration for the Jews. And when I got there, I kept hearing Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua HaMashiach, and I realized that God was preparing me, had been preparing me, and that I was in the Lord's place. Yeshua is Jesus, and HaMashiach means the Messiah, the Anointed One. There's so many Jews in Miami, you're more apt to hear Yeshua than Jesus. Yeshua, Yeshua. Well, when I was there, I felt God's power. I mean, I am never to this, never before that have I ever paid much attention to the Jews, other than Paul will bear witness, he's been with me, Paul and Mary, for many years. I've always said that God's going to turn again to the Jews. That was no new thing to me, because that's what Paul said. But I did not realize that it was happening now. And when I was there, I could feel. Now, I've been in places where the power of God is present. I've been around Pentecost a number of years, and I've been where there's power. But there was power. You can feel God. That made such an impression on me, because I realized that what Paul said in Romans 11, that God shall turn to the Jews, is coming to pass in our day. And that means that the full number of Gentiles is nearly in. See, God doesn't do things. One age, one working of God blends into another. They don't just go, you wake up in the morning and God has changed his whole program. They blend. And we are in the beginning of God turning. Paul in Romans 11 was quoting from this passage that we read, the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Paul is quoting that in Romans chapter 11. That And Paul used that verse as the time when the day of the Gentiles is over and God turns again to Israel. Let's look at that in Romans 11. Am I going too fast for you, Annie? All right. Romans 11, we find Paul talking about the olive tree. The olive tree is Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets, the fathers, Israel. And Paul says they are a tree, and that the Jews were broken out of the tree. And we Gentiles were grafted into the root Israel. Now remember that. That is a key to what we're saying tonight. There is no such thing, brothers and sisters, there is no such thing as a Gentile church. Now this may run against your understanding, and I say it charitably. I know Fernando's a minister. This may be new to him, or he may have heard it differently. So I just ask the brethren to consider carefully what I say, and then keep your own judgment. There are not two churches, a Gentile church and a Jewish church. There is one olive tree. That olive tree has its roots in Abraham. The olive tree is Messiah. It is Christ. And the Jews were broken off. Please keep in mind that the teacher who is teaching us tonight in Romans is a Jew, Paul. Keep in mind that when the Holy Spirit fell in the day of Pentecost, it fell on Jews. Keep in mind that the church of Acts 2, with all those thousands that were converted and were baptized in water, were all Jews. Jews. And then God broke off from Messiah. The Jews were the first body of Christ. Is that right? Oy, oy, oy. Maybe if I have a chance, I'll say later why your amen is so soft. Your amen is soft because Satan, from the early centuries, 300-400 AD, has managed to drive a wedge between the Gentiles and the Jews. And God will not move again. The next great move of God in power will have to do with the joining together of the church. Amen. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. And Satan will work to keep a wedge, because once God begins to move through us and we can bring to the Jews their own Messiah, their own bread, their own salvation, you're going to see the beginning of the kingdom of God. There is one olive tree, and the Jews were broken off, and we Gentiles were grafted in to Messiah. We are married to Jesus, the Messiah. We are married to Him. We are one with Him. Is that right? We are the seed of Abraham. Is that right? We are the seed by promise because we were not saved of our own will. No man comes to the Father or to Jesus unless God draw him. Therefore, we are children by promise. As it says in Acts, as many as were ordained to life, we are children of promise. Now, Paul teaches this. In verse 29 of Romans 11, he says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means this. God has not forgotten the Jews. Their names are in the gates of the holy city, the New Jerusalem, the wife of the Lamb. God has not forgotten them. Praise the Lord. His heart yearns over them today, over His people, the Jews. They are Jesus' brethren in a unique way. And the Scripture teaches in verse 24 of Romans 11, if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature. Now, the wild tree is the non-Jewish tree. The Europeans, the Scandinavians, the Latin countries, the continent of Africa, and the Slavic peoples. We are all Gentiles, Goy. It says that blindness, verse 24, you were cut out of the olive tree. We were cut out of our Slavic tree, or our Germanic tree, or our Latin tree, or our Anglo tree. We were cut out of that tree. We're not part. God didn't go over and make a Gentile church. He did not do that. He cut us out of that tree. And He said, you were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree. How much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? You were grafted into their olive tree. You see what I mean? There's no such thing as a Gentile church. There's only the olive tree. Only the olive tree. There's not two Abrahams, two Isaacs, two Jacobs, two Christ, two kingdoms. That's false teaching. We have been in this error, and now God is bringing us out. There is only the one kingdom of God. There is only the church. There's only the Messiah. There's only one body, the body of the Messiah. Verse 25. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. It's a mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Now, what happened is this. In around the years 300 and 400 AD, you know, prior to that, the Christians suffered terrible persecution. And then the Roman Emperor Constantine and subsequent European leaders. There was one king, his name I can't remember, but he promised God, King Otto, I think, of the Franks, I think was King Otto. He promised God that if he would win a battle, his people would be all Christian. Constantine saw the sign in the sky, in hoc signe vince. In this sign conquer, it was a cross. He commanded his centurions, convert the army. You know how he baptized them in water? He had the centurions march the companies to a river. He marched them through the river. He says, "You're Christians." Overnight, the Christian church turned from a spiritual organism with the Spirit of Christ into a state-accepted religion that was more flesh than spirit. Now, prior to this time, before then, the Jews had their own bread. They were part of the Christian church. They were the original Christian church. The original church is Jewish. Paul was not from New York. He was from Tarsus. That's right, they're all Jews. The one Karen told us tonight, that was a Jewish man told you that about love. When these churches became carnal, they lost the prophetic understanding of the kingdom of God. They were just Christians who'd been marched through a river. And the priestly order came in. And then there were priests, contrary to God's word, calling men father. The communion service became a ritual and so on, and the people finally were lost to their own religion. And in that process, they turned against the Jews. They turned against them. Instead of obeying Paul, who said in Romans, the first chapter, the gospel is to the Jew first. That's Romans 1:16. The gospel of the kingdom of God is to the Jew first. Is it or isn't it? But you see, the reason our amen was so quiet before is we still, without realizing it, have that conceit that Paul talked about. We've become conceited. We have said these Jews, and they said they are deicides. They murdered God. And so began the tremendous Gentile persecution of the Jews. Do you understand your roots? Roots, this is a day to look for roots. These are our roots. The Jews murdered God. The Jews are going to be here during the tribulation. Never believe that. Don't you see what is implicit in that? God loves His Gentile darlings. And we are going to be caught up to heaven with the Holy Spirit. While these Jews, the Jews, without the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, Fernando, without the Holy Spirit, are going to preach the kingdom of God in the face of Antichrist. Because we're too good. We're up in our mansion. And the Jews are down here in the great tribulation without the Holy Spirit. We, with the Holy Spirit, cannot do it. But without the Holy Spirit, come to think of it, maybe that is a praise. Maybe we're saying you're so much greater, so stronger. But it's not the truth. It is historic, this conceit where Paul said, We have become wise in our own conceits. We're the Gentiles. We're the Christians. And they're the Jews. Of whom the Word of God says, the Word that cannot be changed, says, to the Jew first. And any preacher of the gospel, whether he is European or Latin or Slavic or African, any preacher has an obligation to preach the gospel to the Jew first. That's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. Doesn't it hit you funny? It does strike us strange. Because without realizing it, we have this historic conceit. Now notice in verse 25 that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness, literally the full number. They say the Greek term means the full number of the Gentiles become in to what is the subject? The olive tree. That's what you come into, is the olive tree. When the full number that God has ordained, the Gentiles of promise that Jesus has chosen, he said in John 15, you did not choose me, I chose you. So God knows the number that he has chosen. When that full number, whether it's 20 million, 50 million, whatever, has come in to the olive tree, there are not two churches, not two kingdoms, one olive tree. That olive tree is the body of the Messiah. It is the church of Jesus Christ. It is the wife of the Lamb. It is the holy city. It is the kingdom of God. The olive tree is all these things. There is simplicity in the Bible. Simplicity. Praise the Lord. We have made it complicated. There is one fold. One shepherd. One wife of the Lamb. How many wives? I hope so. That isn't what I was taught in Bible school. The Jews were one wife. The Gentiles were another wife. That's what I was taught in Bible school. Jesus is a bigamist. He keeps one in heaven and one on the earth. Which is the true wife? The one in heaven? The one on the earth? The Jews after the flesh? This is the wife of the risen Christ, or the Jews after the flesh? No. It is this ancient division that came in the early centuries. These Jews murdered God, and they've been persecuting them ever since. Where were the Christians when Hitler rose? See, back in our mind, these Jews We didn't realize that they are God's chosen people. No, we're the Gentiles. We're the church. Oh, you're a Jew? You want to become a Christian? Leave your family. Leave Judaism. That is conceit. We're the ones that leave, not them. We leave our family. We become Jews. The Jews are the head. The Jews are the chosen people. Does it get you? Feel the conceit? It's in us, but God's helping us. And in verse 25, the full number of the Gentiles be come in, that is, be grafted in to this olive tree. Then all Israel shall be saved. Who is all Israel? The olive tree. The olive tree is Israel. The founding Jews. Do you believe that in the rapture, in the resurrection from the dead, do you believe that David will be in it? Paul? Malachi? Doesn't the Bible say in Hebrews 11, speaking of the patriarchs, they without us cannot be made perfect. All Israel shall be saved. Means that when the day of the Lord has come, Jesus will descend from heaven and he will call up from the ground the dead bodies of Israel, of which we are a part. Hallelujah! Glory to God! And you can read that in Ezekiel 47. When the bones come together, bone to his bone, flesh, sinew on them, flesh on them. And God says, that is Israel, and they are raised and stand on their feet. An exceeding great army. That's Joel's army. All Israel shall be saved means all of God's elect. Well, we started out in the Old Testament. The Redeemer shall come to Zion. But Paul says in Romans, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer. And turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, do we have any part in this? Fred says, I'm not sure, but I'm willing to learn. Hebrews chapter 12. Don't believe anything unless you see it in the Bible, Fred. Hebrews 12. How many know that the book of Hebrews is written to Jewish Christians? It's what the title says. Doesn't mean it's written in Hebrew. It means it's written to the Hebrew Christians. Is that right? Now let me ask you a question. Does it apply to you too? If you say no, don't ever preach from Hebrews again. Of course it does. There is one fold. We are the royal priesthood of God. Now, in verse 22 of Hebrews 12, and you said that it applies to us, is that right? You are come unto Mount Zion. Where did you come to? Mount Zion. Where's the deliverer going to come from? Absolutely. You say, well, this is not a real Zion, a real one's on earth. That isn't what Paul said. Paul said the real one's the one up in the heaven. And to the city of the living God, you have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. Is that right? Oh, no, you've come to the heavenly New York. You've come to the heavenly London. You've come to the heavenly Gentile city. Is that right? We have no city, we Gentiles. It's the Jews. Jerusalem! Jerusalem! See that? It's the children's bread. You see why it's to the Jew first? He understands going to Jerusalem. He understands going to Zion. Not Colorado. Jerusalem! Where else can the member of Israel go but to Jerusalem? And to the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Are you a member of the church of the firstborn? How many churches of the firstborn are there? Does the Hebrew Christian that this is writing to, is it saying to that Jewish Christian that you're going to go to the Jerusalem in heaven? I think so. This is written to the Hebrews. The Hebrews, that's another name for the Jews. Are they being pointed toward the Jerusalem in heaven? Or did he say, you have a special thing down here? No. We are all one body in Jesus, the Messiah. Let's look at 1 Peter. How many times have you read the Old Testament? And it says, Israel is this. Arise, shine. Israel's going to do this. And you say, that's those Jews. That's these Jews. Out here. If you're a part of Christ. All right, now let's see what Peter says about the prophets. In the first chapter of Peter. Peter was Irish, by the way. He came from County Down. It's Irishman Peter. Peter was so much of a Jew, he would not eat with the Gentile Christians. God had to let his sheep down with all kinds of animals in it. He says, I cannot believe a dirty, unwashed Gentile, a Christian, a member of the body of the Messiah, a dirty goy. We got the tables kind of turned around today, don't we? He wouldn't go in their house and eat with them, even though they had accepted Christ. Things have changed in our day. We say, you poor Jew, why don't you become a Gentile and get saved? That's why they don't get saved. They don't want to become a Gentile. They have to swallow our whole culture in order to accept their own Messiah. We ought not to preach our culture or race to the Jews. We should say, we are the outsiders. We're paying back a debt because the Jew Paul got us saved through his teaching. Now we're paying back this debt. Receive your own Messiah. We give you your own bread, your own Messiah. You don't have to become a Gentile, but we have to become a Jew. I will not let any Jew put me out of my inheritance. One tried a couple of days ago. I tell you, he's still talking about the Jews separate from the Gentiles. I said, I have no city. You've got the city. You've got the whole thing. I said, I'm married to Jesus. You're not keeping me away from the Jews. You keep yourself away from him if you want to. He's a Jew. He says, you're not keeping me away because this is my inheritance. Remember the lady? He says, the dogs eat from the crumbs. I don't mind being a dog. I just want Jesus. There's no salvation anyplace else. And if he's a Jew and he wants me to be a Jew, so I'll learn to eat gefilte fish. I hate it, but I'll learn to eat it. So Peter says in the first chapter, speaking of the Hebrew prophets, in verse 10, it says, of which salvation, our salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Now this is Isaiah, Ezekiel, the prophets, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. And who are you? If you read the commentators on Peter, he was writing to Gentiles in this book. Gentile Christians. Internal evidence says the same thing. Because in the second chapter, he says verse 10, which in time past were not a people. That means he was writing to the Gentiles. That expression, not a people, applies to the Gentiles. He's writing to Gentiles. And he says, the prophets were talking about the grace that should come to you. They were not talking about Israel after the flesh. They were talking about the grace that should come to you. Isaiah 59 and 60 are talking about the grace that should come to you. They're not talking about Israel after the flesh, the grace that should come to you. Searching what, or verse 11, or what manner of time the Spirit of Messiah, which was in them, in the prophets, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of the Messiah and the glory that should follow. Unto whom, that is unto the Hebrew prophets, it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, we Christians, they did minister the things now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. Ezekiel, Isaiah were not talking to the Jews after the flesh. They were talking to the Christians, unto you, Peter says, who were not a people, but are now the people. The prophets are not talking to the Jews after the flesh. They're talking to the church. Does that mean, as some are saying, that therefore the only true Israel is the church, and that God is not going to deal with Jerusalem after the flesh, or Israel after the flesh, the nation? That is being taught today. That's another error. It goes back and forth. We who are born again are true Israel. And the Bible teaches that in the last days, God shall turn again to Israel after the flesh, and they will have to be born again. The Bible says he's going to deal with them. So if we would read the Bible, it's very simple. We represent, like Asenath, the wife of Joseph. Joseph represents Christ. Jacob and the 11 boys represent the Jews after the flesh. During a time of drought, spiritual drought, Jesus will be reconciled to his brethren, the Jews. But we will be with him because we are married to him, even though we are Egyptians, so to speak, as Asenath was. We're going to be with Jesus because Jesus' heart is toward Jerusalem. Yes, he's interested in Jerusalem. He's preparing the spirit of Jerusalem in the heavens. Spirits of just men made perfect. He is going to bring the spiritual Jerusalem down to the natural Jerusalem and give the natural Jerusalem a sanctified spirit. Praise the Lord. And all Israel shall be one. See it? That's the truth. It's simple. It's not an error. It's not this or that. It is what the Bible says. And we'll finish in Ephesians, the second chapter. Brother Thompson, why are you spending our time with this? I'll tell you why. The mightiest move of God today on the earth. There are many mighty moves of revival among people. There's one in Nagaland today, a mighty revival among the Nagas. In other places there are revivals. They are of God. But the mightiest power of God, in my opinion, is moving toward the Jews. The kingdom is at hand. You that know the feasts of the Lord, the first feast is Passover, is that right? When it was fulfilled in Jesus, where was it fulfilled? Jerusalem. The second feast is unleavened bread. When it was fulfilled spiritually by Christ in the heart of the earth, where was his body? Jerusalem. When Christ rose from the dead in fulfillment of the Feast of First Fruits, where was he raised from? When the Holy Spirit fell in fulfillment of the fourth feast, Pentecost, where did it fall? There are three more feasts. Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles. It is reasonable that if the first four took place in Jerusalem, the last three shall also. That's why every Christian that's got $2,000 wants to go to Jerusalem. We are being drawn there like moths to a light. We can just feel in there. People are flocking. We're trying to get there because my wife and I and some friends, because we've been asked to minister there this year, but we can't get a hotel. Jews are coming from all over the world. Gentiles are coming. Christians are coming from all over the world. The chief rabbi of Jerusalem said Zechariah is being fulfilled. Rabbi Shlomo, the rabbi of Jerusalem, says, Zechariah, here comes the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. There's tour after tour after tour. Every Gentile, Christian, feels that God's going to move. And the Jews are coming for tabernacles and for Simchat Torah, rejoicing over the law. The day after tabernacles, singing and dancing in the street, rejoicing over the Lord, over the law. God is moving in Jerusalem, and we Christians can feel it. There's a drawing. See, we're coming to the Feast of Trumpets. It'll be fulfilled in Jerusalem. Yom Kippur. It'll be fulfilled in Jerusalem. Tabernacles. Where is Jesus coming back to? The Mount of Olives. Where is he going to be crowned? The throne of David, according to Gabriel. The throne of David. Come on, Jews. We don't have $2,000. Pretty soon we won't need it. Go there like Philip. Ephesians 2. Bear with the word, brethren. We're about through here. Ephesians 2. Verse 11. Speaking to the saints which are at Ephesus. Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore remember that you, Ephesians, Christians, Gentiles, being in time past Gentiles. He said, you're not Gentiles anymore. In the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, before you were a Christian, you were without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. As long as you're a Gentile, you have no hope, because the new covenant is made with the house of Israel. Hebrews chapter 8, after this I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. You cannot make the covenant of God with a Gentile. If you're a Gentile, you're without hope. You have to be a member of what? Israel. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, Ephesian Christians, are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one. And what is the both? Jews and Gentiles. And has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. I'm still trying to break it down with the brethren. They're bound to go one way or the other. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments, to make in himself of two one new man. Who's the new man? The body of the Messiah. And that he might reconcile both. Both. Who's the both? Jews and Gentiles. Unto God in one body on the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, the Ephesians, and to them who were near, that's the Jews of Jerusalem. For through him we both, who's both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, that is Gentiles, but fellow citizens with the saints. Who does Paul mean by the saints? The Jews. He says, we've made you part of us. God has made you part of us. And of the household of God. Who's the household of God? Israel, the olive tree. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles, all Jews, and prophets, all Jews, Messiah Jesus being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. Lord Jesus, Lord, we realize that for nearly 2,000 years we have been wise in our own conceits. We have thought that the church of Christ is Gentile, that it belongs to the Gentiles, and that the Jews are despised, and their worship in the synagogue of the law meaningless, their rejoicing over the law meaningless, their efforts toward God meaningless, while we Gentiles have it all. Lord, forgive us our conceit. Forgive us our ignorance. Forgive us, Lord, our ignorance of God and of His Word. Lord, I pray for every one of us that You will give us an understanding of Israel, and that we may have the opportunity to be with Jesus when He has that which His heart is yearning for to be revealed to His brethren. as Joseph was revealed to Benjamin and the others, that Jesus may be revealed to those of his own background, his own whatever, Lord. We know that your heart is toward your chosen people and that you love them for the Father's sake. Oh, Jesus, we thank you that you ever reached unto us who are Gentiles, ignorant, unsaved, proud, not a people, and by your grace and your grace alone, you brought us to Messiah Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And now, Lord, we feel a desire to return to the children their own bread, their own Messiah. Forgive us our conceit and help us, Lord, to make the gospel to the Jew first. Praise your wonderful name.